I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Black Philadelphia voters say why they are supporting Donald Trump, and Mark Halperin says somebody pitched him a story that would end Trump's campaign, but is it real? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. What a show it's been. Fired up today. Fired up. And the top story of the day brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria. Come to Dr. Mike's Cinnaminson office on Saturday, November 9th for their annual Veterans Breakfast and free shredding event. Honor all those who served our country. Get some coffee, cake, donuts, and pizza. Bring your documents that need shredding. Okay, good. I was playing in the last hour, and I apologize because some of these we had the video and I just didn't get to them because I was on my rants. But nevertheless, Philly voters. Not happy that Barack Obama was talking down to them. Deeply offended. Alex Wagner speaking with voters on MSNBC, cut number 6.
And I just wonder for anybody who heard that, like what they thought of that.
Deeply offended. I was deeply offended. And it felt like a moment where it's like, you N-words better get in line and do what we say. And it felt like him as the czar of the Democratic Party coming down to say, go get these N-words in line. And the general tone of it was disgusting. It was abhorrent. I don't respect it. I didn't like nothing about it. And Kamala, 2 days after that, is like, we love our black men. We have programs and things that we're rolling out for them. And she rolled out policy.
Good cop, bad cop. Yeah. You know, because
I'm tired of the good cop, bad cop. I'm tired of it.
Yeah. It's also important to note, too, that when he was telling the brothers what to do, he's not living in Philadelphia. He's going back to Martha's Vineyard. He's going back to the whitest place in America. The whitest place in America. But Stacey Abrams also lectured black men, too. She went even further, too, that black men who don't support Kamala, they're sexist and they're racist. Racist and sexist. Stacey Abrams, who is an election denier, but of course, you know, you're not allowed to say that, even though she's a total election denier. Cut 16.
Do you agree that black men who are not voting for Harris and who didn't vote for you, as the pastor sees it, are misogynist? As he said, misogyny is still real in our community.
I would say, number one, I know it's a shock to everyone, but sexism remains real and a very pertinent issue. But I want us to be really clear that Kamala Harris is doing very well with black men. Black men are the second strongest cohort of Democratic voters. What we're seeing, though, is that she is showing them due respect by actually speaking to their issues. And those issues differ from other cohorts. I'm not quite certain why there is this panic about black men voting. They vote. In fact, they vote more than their counterparts in any other community for Democrats. However, we do have to acknowledge that there is sexism, there is racism, there are challenges in our electorate, and that's why it's so important that Kamala Harris.
Oh, that's enough. Thank you. That's enough. So yeah, basically, yeah, you know, if you're not one of the black men voting for Kamala, you are racist and you are sexist. Got it? It's so condescending. It really is condescending. It's not that you might like Trump better. It's not that you might like his issues better. It's that you're misogynistic. Here's Philly voters talking to Alex Wagner, including Rockford Bradley, Justice Felix, and Dr. Prince Jonakin, talking about crime, schools, cut 7.
I believe Trump is going to win because, first off, when people say bad things about him, where does that affect us down here? That doesn't affect our neighborhoods. It doesn't. It has never affected our neighborhoods. We don't even get to see half the things that go on that level.
We know that he's going to win because he is the best for America. He's worried about our economy.
The crime is high. Yeah. The violence is high. The school are bad. Yeah. We can go on and on. Where Democrats have been in charge for 40 years.
We're voting for Donald Trump unequivocally. Period. No one else is going to persuade us. We 2 weeks out, and we won't sleep until November the 6th.
So you know
who you're voting for?
Yes, I'm voting for Trump, definitely.
Tell me why.
He's more strong, like strong-minded in a way. He's focused on what we got to focus on. Like, he doesn't play. That's what I respect about him. Yeah, he doesn't play. He always just stands for what he believes, and he doesn't go back. No matter how many people are bashing him, no matter people is criticizing him, nothing.
He doesn't take BS. He's not going to hear it. He's a businessman. He's not there for the fluff talk of politics. We need someone strong. We need someone who's going to get down to business and take care of what this country needs, but also understands what the community needs.
The thing is, we were scared in the beginning because he said he's going to nuke Korea and he's going to do nuke Iran, but he didn't do that.
Right.
He didn't do that. The stock market went up.
Stock market's up pretty high right now, too.
Well, you know, but the thing is, there was really, because there was no inflation back then. Democrats take granted, especially minorities. They take for granted because they think Republicans are so out of touch with the minorities' needs, so they don't have any choice. And I think that's going to be a big surprise.
You got pockets that there's an energy for Mr. Trump in the city, but a lot of people just walking down the street, they not feeling the Democrats from time to time, not sure if they're going to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
He may not vote at all.
No.
Black men that don't vote for Democrats, it's not what Mr. Trump did, is what have you been disappointed with. I'm not a dedicated Republican. I'm voting for the lesser two evils this time, being Mr. Donald Trump.
A lot of people like that. And a lot of people feel that way. You know, lesser two evils is a binary choice. You got to pick the one that you think is going to be better. I think that guy speaks for a lot of people. I would say that's where the undecided voters will eventually end up. But, you know, backing up a little bit to what that one guy said, he said early on with concerns he might bomb North Korea or start a war or whatever. He didn't do those things. And the stock market was great. And Alex Wagner interrupts him and says, well, the stock market's great now. Look, the point the guy was making echoes what I've been saying throughout the entire show today, which is that maybe the argument that Trump's a madman, dictator, would have worked in 2016 before the guy got into the White House, but it didn't work in 2016. It's certainly not going to work now after he was president for 4 years. That guy just confirmed everything I've been saying throughout the show. These recycled scare tactics around Donald Trump didn't work then. They're not going to work now, but they're especially not going to work now because he already was president for 4 years. I mean, invoking Hitler is shameful, but remember, it's not to imply that he's anti-Semitic this time around. Democrats are anti-Semitic. That's why they didn't pick Josh Shapiro. It's to imply that he's going to be this fascist dictator and never leave. Here's another Philadelphia voter talking about, I agree with the idea of mass deportation. This is a voters in MSNBC, including Philadelphia-based Trump supporter named Pastor Philip Fisher. Cut number 8.
I agree with the idea of mass deportation, largely. You have criminals in this country who are destroying our nation. They're coming in here, getting earmarked bills and policies to open up businesses, get free housing, get access, easier access than those who are legally immigrated to this country, to welfare and other benefits. So, like, as a taxpayer, we have to pay for these guys to have luxuries of life, and we don't get anything. Especially Black Americans who have suffered so much in the system under Democrats. We don't get anything. That's insane. You talk about Springfield, Ohio. And the whole thing with the fluff talk of, oh, grabbing a soundbite about Haitians or whatever is eating cats and dogs. Y'all trying to change the narrative of what he's really talking about.
Yep.
Change the narrative of really what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And telling us that's what we should be discussing. Mm-hmm. No, this here, this is what we're discussing.
Yeah.
This here, this is America, and this is what America is about and what we're discussing.
Now, I played you the Black women who were going on about why they don't want to support Kamala Harris. Hallie Jackson on NBC News talked to Kamala Harris about this, and, you know, is there sexism at play here? So I guess you got to go back to those Black women in Philly and tell them that they're all sexist because they won't support Kamala Harris. If you're a Black man and you won't support her, you're sexist too. It's not that her ideas are terrible. It's not that Trump's better. It's just that you're sexist. See? People love that. So we've just really added to the basket of deplorables. Cut 23.
You've been reluctant to lean into, to talk about the historic nature of your candidacy on the campaign trail. Why is that?
Well, I'm clearly a woman.
Are you?
Point that out.
How do you
anyone.
Know?
The point that most people really care about is, can you do the job? And do you have a plan to actually focus on them?
There is a big gender gap in this race. Fewer men support you right now than they did President Biden. Some of your allies have suggested there's sexism at play. I wonder, do you think there is sexism at play here?
Let me just tell you something. You've come to my events, and you will see there are men and women at those events. So the experience that I am having is one in which it is clear that regardless of someone's gender, they want to know that their president has a plan to lower cost, that their president has a plan to
right,
secure
that's
America.
That's the problem is you don't have any plans to do that. Nobody likes your plans. They don't like your plans. Remember how that one pastor said he agrees with the idea of mass deportation? Well, here's Kamala Harris doing a Telemundo interview, turning into a bumbling mess, talking about her immigration policy. Cut number 10.
Right now, we're talking about border security, and there's nobody, no Democrat, talking about pathway to citizenship, an immigration relief, and the benefits that migrants bring to this country.
Oh, but there's no question that migrants bring, America is a country that was built in part by immigrants.
But people are concerned
who have
about their TPS, their DACA, their. We're talking about mass deportations.
I'm not talking about.
What do you stand on mass deportations? What's your stand there?
We need smart, humane immigration policy in America mm-hmm. that includes a pathway to citizenship.
There's a pathway to citizenship. See, this is the problem here. She's still catering to the base. She's still trying to win over the base. Mario's in Philadelphia. Mario, how are you?
I'm good, Rich. You know, I'm just curious. You're a lot smarter than I am.
I don't believe that.
I got a third grade education compared to guys like Josh Shapiro, who's probably never worked an honest day in his life. You know, but I'm wondering, are these people the bastions of truth every time they come up with a new lie? All the old lies are forgotten?
Yeah, that's the idea, and the media helps them forget. It's called gaslighting, and they're complicit in it, and that's what they do all the time, Mario.
Yeah. By the way, I was in Rittenhouse Square today on a one-block detour on 17th Street. It took me an hour. I heard that Kamala was in town talking to some people at a deli. So now I'm wondering.
Yeah, it was a friggin' mess, right?
She's running low. Is she running low on word salads, maybe stocking up there?
That's good. Very good. She might need some fresh word salads. You might be right about that, buddy.
Yeah, and as far as Kelly, General Kelly, yeah, he's an insubordinate. He was, even when he was being hired by Trump, that makes him an insubordinate. He was fired. So he's, he's one of those guys. He got fired, so he's got something nice to say about his old boss. It's really a simple determination as to why he did it. And he wants to sell books.
See? And that's what a Italian from Philly knows best, right? You got that gut instinct about it. He's doing this to make money. That's what he's doing it.
That's the secret to America, Rich. You know
that's
that.
It. Money. That's it, brother. That's it, Paisan. All right, Mario. Thank you for the call, buddy.
Take care.
All right. 855-839-1210. Where was I going here? Oh, yeah, we got to talk about Michigan and Maricopa County. There's a lot of reasons to be very, very concerned about what we're hearing coming out of these states. Plus, a viral clip today about from Bill Ackman, Pershing Square CEO Bill Ackman, on why Trump and the ideas of the Trump team are better for America. You want to hear this as well. This is really, really great stuff here. But let me just play this for you. This is Maricopa County announcing it could take 10 to 13 days to tabulate the votes of the election. What the hell? This is why people don't trust the system. This is exactly why people don't trust the system. Cut 22.
How quickly? Anyway, very tight races here. In fact, Maricopa County setting the stage that tabulating all these votes may not be an election night thing. It may take days.
Wow. Well, 12 News journalist Colleen Sikora explains that county leaders are asking voters for patience and to be prepared.
Tight races, high interest in the election, and a two-page ballot are leaving Maricopa County officials warning of lines on election day and also warning it's going to take them 10 to 13 days to tabulate results. Two pages and an average of 79 contests per ballot.
We are expecting heavy turnout this year, and so that's why we're really encouraging people to vote early.
2 weeks out from election day and some votes are in.
More than 400,000 people have cast their ballot in Maricopa County.
That's out of an anticipated 2.1 million voter turnout this year.
We are seeing a little bit of a lag of where we were in 2020, but the last few days we've actually seen an uptick in turnout. So I am expecting that we will start approaching very close to those 2020 numbers.
What can impact the amount of results released and when? Early ballots dropped off on election day.
Our races will be close.
And on election day, lines are expected, even with an increase in vote centers and voting booths at those vote centers.
If you're going to vote on election day, vote in person and use that on-site tabulator so that those votes will be tabulated on that evening as opposed to dropping off your early ballot on election day.
The county adding more high-speed tabulators, more election workers.
We're increasing staffing at our ballot processing as well because, again, we're handling double the number of the sheets of paper. And so we are looking to both have extra shifts, night shifts, if necessary, in ballot processing and then in the next step that takes place in election administration, and that's through tabulation.
But tabulation expected to take time.
We do expect that it will take between 10 and 13 days to complete tabulation.
It's a long time. It makes people very, very nervous. And here's Michigan Secretary of State saying she expects the election results to be certified the day after November 5th, which is a lot better than Maricopa County, that's for damn sure. Cut 15.
Do you expect to get results?
Well, you know, in 2020, we had the results of our highest turnout election in Michigan history within 24 hours of the polls closing. The unofficial results were completed by 8 p.m. on Wednesday. So we're tracking that again this year. We do have more options to process ballots sooner than Election Day, which is where we were restricted in 2020. So I'm optimistic we could see results even sooner. But I would estimate end of the day on Wednesday as the best guess on how we'll perform. But that said, we will always prioritize accuracy and security over efficiency. Understanding how much people will want those results, we're still going to make sure the process is secure and accurate before we put anything out to the public. But that said, we understand people's energy and excitement, and we'll be working hard to ensure those results are ready as soon as possible.
Matt, what did you just text me here? What is this now?
Oh, so Arnon Mishkin spoke with Politico, I guess, about a day or so ago. He's the head of Fox News' decision desk, and he was asked when he thought the election results would be finalized, and he didn't think that there would be a result until the Saturday after the election. He set Saturday as the over-under.
Question is, will anybody sleep until the election results are official? Yeah.
What? Wait. What'd you say? I missed it.
Like, will anyone go to sleep, or will people just stay up until we know?
I stayed up last time for a while. I don't think I'll. I don't think I can stay up till Saturday, though. That might be too long.
Probably not. Right. Probably not. All right. Let me take a quick break. I got a lot more to say. We got a lot of stuff here in our fourth and final hour. But listen, security and safety. Top priority for every business owner. Look no further than my friend Tom McCausland and McCausland Lock and Alarm to secure your facilities. They'll help you control access. Now, that means a state-of-the-art key card system so you determine who can get where in your facility and incredible camera systems so that you can keep an eye on everything. A lot of companies can sell you these things, but there's only one Tom McCausland. His wealth of knowledge and experience allow McCausland to effectively protect all types of facilities, no matter what the environment. And just as important, their customer service is unmatched. When you need assistance, you'll talk to a local expert, probably Tom himself. You'll never be stuck in a voice message system not knowing what number to push. So if you're serious about protecting your facilities, you need to seriously consider McCausland Lock and Alarm. Call Tom at 610-430-1500. That's 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock and Alarm. Look, we talk about crime all the time on this show. It is a major, major problem, a major issue. And you have to make sure your business is protected. 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock and Alarm, securing your business, securing your future.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, so, how long does it take to get to Penn State from here?
That's a bit of a drive.
That's a bit of a drive, right?
I think it's like 2 hours, maybe more, actually.
Let me see. Oh, I'm tired. Man, this show is killing me today. 70 hours? Oh, that's if I walk.
From this spot right now, it would take about 3 hours and 17 minutes from the studio to Penn State University.
That's kind of tough.
Ugh.
I had it on walk. It said 3 days.
Get your steps in.
No, they may be doing some Fox News thing on Friday. They wanted to know if I could come to Penn State. I don't think I could pull that off on Friday. Might be tough.
You could broadcast from there, maybe.
Maybe. Do we have a studio there?
I don't know. Probably not.
Probably not, right? There's some college. But anything is possible. I'll just say this. Anything is possible.
I mean, they probably have a radio station, and they probably have some sort of Comrex, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I don't need my... I just need a freaking... I do the show on my cell phone, you know?
It's a state university. I would think that their facilities for the radio station might... they're probably a lot better than what I dealt with at Rowan, and we had a lot.
That's true. So Justin, who's our associate producer, did college radio at Rowan.
This is true. Yes, I did.
And you were the program director.
I was not the program director.
You were not the program director. That's why we like you. You weren't a corporate D-bag.
The program director was a nice guy.
I'm sure he was. So, and you did music, sports, talk, all the above?
Yeah, I had a daytime music show. I floated between pretty much the hours of this show, and sometimes I did The Drive at 5, which was its own special little hour programming.
You were my competition, and then they hired you here? That's unbelievable.
Well, to be fair, it was music. It wasn't talk, so one direct competition. And then, yeah, I did color commentary and play-by-play commentary for the sports department.
That's fun.
I had a lot of fun doing it.
I bet.
I miss it every now and again.
Yeah, no, I mean, the radio station was cool, Rowan. It was nice.
Oh, yeah.
Good facility. Yeah.
Oh, great facility, great people. I think one of my coworkers and one of my former sports directors actually works across the ways at WIP. I've seen them every now and again.
You know, it gives me great hope that young people are still interested in going into broadcasting. I think that's wonderful. I mean, that's terrific. It's a dumb career move, but it's great that you guys are still doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in it for my love of the medium, not for the love of the money, or else I would have probably done TV or film. But
yeah.
I just
or anything else,
or anything
literally,
else, really.
Literally anything else.
But you know, I loved radio so much as a kid. I love radio now, and that's why I chose to stick with it for my love of the game.
It's good. I'm glad you did. I'm really glad you did. Listen, they used to pay me. I would do a show, and I didn't get paid for years. I hosted a show on the station. I mean, a fill-in host. I didn't even get paid. A couple years it took me, and then they would pay me like $50 to do a show for like 3 hours on a Saturday or something like that. But, you know, I just stuck with it. Now they pay me $55 a show, which is great. So. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. What else do we got to cover, DeSantis? We covered a lot today. You know what was great, by the way, was McCarthy. He was on fire today. He was great.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite guests. We need to have him on more frequently. There is one clip that we haven't used just yet.
Which one?
I'm trying to find it. Cut 14.
Which one is? Oh, Tim Walz?
It's Tim Walz going after Elon Musk. He's trying to be a tough guy. I think he's trying to appeal to male voters.
Oh, did he do this on The View?
No, this was... No, he did not do this on The View. This was at a campaign rally last night.
All right, cut 14.
And that's not a joke. But look, I'm not going to waste all the time I'm in. I'm going to talk about his running mate. His running mate, Elon Musk. Seriously. Where is Senator Vance after he got asked the simplest question in the world at the debate? Did Donald Trump lose the 2020 election? And after 2 weeks, he finally said, no, he didn't. That's where he's been spending his time. But that's it. So, look, Elon's on that stage, jumping around, skipping like a dip on these things.
Oh, you know, tough guy. Uh-oh, he cursed. That's a sign of a real man. Says the guy who comes out looking like Fat Richard Simmons, sweating to the oldies at every rally, jumping around like a goofball. Literally comes out waving his arms, his big belly hanging out. But he said the S word. That's a sign of a real man right there. If you curse, you're a real man. Whoa. Wow.
You're not impressed by his toughness?
I probably should be. That was very, very tough. Hey, listen, why don't you go load a shotgun on your crotch, tough guy? So Yelp had to disable comments for the McDonald's where Trump wore the apron, huh?
Yeah, apparently, which is unsurprising. That's the biggest story in the country. You knew that McDonald's was going to, you know, become politicized, specific location.
All right, here's what I don't understand. How do you have time, free time, to write bad Yelp reviews or to go after Jaime's Deli? Or how do these people have time? I guess because they're not working.
I was going to say, they're 100%. Yeah. They're on unemployment. They just sit at home. They got nothing better to do than to just write Yelp reviews, write all whatever they want. I mean, how many times? Like, I love when I see on X, I see an account that's like very, very pro-liberal, very unabashedly. Then you check their tweets, and it's like 100,000 tweets. How do you find? I think I've had my X account since 2012. I have at most maybe 250, and there are people that have made accounts in like 2022, and they have over 100,000. Like, how do you find time to write that many? People don't need to hear you speak that much.
How do I find out how many tweets I have?
If you go to your X account, it should say like at the top where your name is.
Yeah.
It should say like how many tweets you have.
I have 24,000 followers. I'm blocked by Cher. I joined in January of 2009. Following 3,600 people. I don't even know who the hell those people are. But I don't see where can I tell how many tweets I've had?
Oh, did they get rid of it? Because it used to say, like, at the top of your account, it would say how many... Oh, if you scroll down, like, a little bit, it says, like, my thing, like, Justin A. Otero, and then it'll say 708 posts. So I have 708 posts. Most of those are just sports retweets, but...
Gotcha. Trying to see if I can find it. I'm curious, because, I mean, I do this professionally for a living, which is what the word professionally means. And I don't even think I have that many tweets compared to those people. I mean, some people just tweet all the time. I hate it. If I didn't work in media, I don't even think I would have a social media account in anything. Nothing. Like, I'm not on Facebook. I have the show page for Facebook, which is, you know, people should follow that. I hope they do. Instagram, too. But if it wasn't for that, like I wouldn't even be on social media. I'd be a ghost. I'd be John Connor in Terminator. You know what I mean? When he's just living off the grid.
Yeah, I think like the only thing I have is like looking at news for the show, looking at news for in general, and then just Philly sports updates. That is all I ever use social media for.
But I am glad because I've made good friends on social media who are friends of the show and listeners in the show, and that's been fun. But that's really the only upside to all of it. Urban said the following regarding... He said... Here, let me send this to you, Matt. You can play what Urban said about the comments about John Kelly. I'll send this to you. David Urban also is asking CNN... I guess Kamala has an interview tonight with Anderson Cooper. And our buddy David Urban asked Anderson Cooper, he said, I hope that... Let's see. Anderson Cooper asks Kamala Harris what she thinks about Senator Bob Casey running ads in Pennsylvania with real Donald Trump instead of her. Because, you know, Casey is trying to run away from Kamala Harris, which is also what we've talked about with Michigan and some of the other states as well. These Democrat candidates are running like hell from Kamala Harris. Running like hell from Kamala Harris. But he was asked a question today about John Kelly's claims about Trump to The Atlantic and The New York Times. And he said, I don't think it's useful to brand people. I don't think it's going to be useful. I think it's going to be sticky. But, you know, Jake, what we're battling here in the Philly suburbs is that our JC ad that was filmed at Jaime's, the Jewish Coalition ad, versus, you know, Kamala Harris calling Trump, you know, a fascist and a Nazi identifying with Hitler. So which one of these is going to win out in the Philly suburbs? That's the question. I would say that, considering that the Republican Jewish Coalition shot that commercial at Jaime's Deli, one of the most famous Jewish delis ever, great place, and now they're getting killed on social media and Facebook by lunatics on the main line, and even just lunatics not on the main line. Talk about the anti-Semitic behavior we've seen going after Goldie's restaurant in Philly, going after Jaime's. And, I mean, just horrible stuff. Here's what Urban said about that. Take a listen.
Hey, look, I like John Kelly. He's a good man. Served his country honorably.
Oh, he's not
General
a good man.
Mark Milley,
no,
good
he's
guys.
Not.
You know, they served their country. So, look, they're entitled to their opinion. John Kelly was asked. He was asked. Basically, the guy just read the definition and was asked, "Do you think if Donald Trump falls within that? If I read to you the definition of a socialist, Jake, and said, do you think Kamala Harris falls within the definition of a socialist? You'd say." Oh, yeah, she pretty much does. So if we're going to take the, you know, OED out and start looking up definitions, you know, I don't think it's very helpful. I don't think it's useful to brand people. I don't think it's going to be useful. I don't think it's going to be sticky. But, you know, Jake, what we're battling here in the Philly suburbs is that RJC ad that was filmed at Jaime's versus, you know, Kamala Harris calling Trump, you know, a fascist and a not, you know, identifying with Hitler. So which one of those is going to win out in the Philly suburbs? That's the question.
First of all, General Kelly's not a good man. He's a backstabbing, two-faced slime ball. Other than that. All right, listen, let me take a quick break. Before I do, though, I want to tell you about my friend and dentist, Dr. Mike Veneri at Veneria Dental. Dr. Mike is not only a master of implant dentistry and voted a top dentist in New Jersey for 12 consecutive years by his peers, he's also a man that cares and gives back to our veterans and the community. On Saturday, November 9th, come out to his Cinnaminson office on Riverton Road for his annual Veterans Breakfast and Free Shredding event. Come out. Honor all the men and women who have served us and our country. Get some coffee, cake, donuts, and pizza. Bring your documents that need shredding. Got to shred those important documents and protect yourself from identity theft. And it's a great way and a great event. And you can say hello to our veterans, meet Dr. Mike and his staff. I'm telling you, if you've been contemplating that big, complicated dental procedure and you're nervous, don't be. Reach out to Dr. Mike for a second opinion. Get a free dental implant consultation. He's the best there is. Look, you only have one smile in this lifetime, so trust it with Dr. Mike Veneria. And he has two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. And look, if you're in Pennsylvania, it's worth the drive over the bridge. When it comes to complicated dental implants or any complicated dental procedure, you want to go to the best, and that's Dr. Mike Veneria, according to his own peers. VeneriaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com, 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020. And when I tell you, by the way, he's my family's sole dentist, just the other day, funny story, Reagan was refusing to brush her teeth, just being defiant as usual. And Bridget said to her, "Now, what would Dr. Mike say, Reagan?" And she picked up that toothbrush and started brushing her teeth. So I'm just saying, Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So, mark your calendar for November 13th. I can't tell you why yet, but I would hold the date if I were you. Just trust me. And tune into Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon coming up next. So Elon Musk is giving away $1 million. You have a chance to earn $1 million if you sign a petition in favor of free speech and the right to bear arms. Today, Andy earned $1 million in Holly Springs, North Carolina. Shannon was the lucky winner yesterday. She's from McKees Rocks, PA. Christine, she got $1 million in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on October 20th and October 19th. John from Harrisburg got $1 million. And all it is a petition to support the First and Second Amendments. That's it. In appreciation for your support, you will receive $47 for each registered voter you refer that signs the petition. Our goal is to get 1 million registered voters in swing states to sign in support of the Constitution, especially freedom of speech and the right to bear arms. This program is exclusively open to registered voters in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, and North Carolina. Expires November 5th. And if you're a Pennsylvania registered voter, you sign the petition and get $100. Refer a petition signer and get $100. Now, the Department of Justice is now going after Elon Musk over this giveaway. On Monday, the DOJ was sent a letter from a group of attorneys and public officials requesting an investigation into payments to petition signers. Why is there a problem with this? I don't understand. You help people register to vote. You sign a petition. You're eligible to win $1 million. In what universe is this illegal? We are a group of attorneys and public officials, including those who have served in senior legal and law enforcement roles under every Republican president from Richard Nixon to Donald Trump. We write to you today to request that you review payments that are being made by the Elon Musk-funded America PAC to voters in Pennsylvania and other states that experts say raise serious questions under applicable law. What is the issue? You're eligible to win $1 million if you're a swing state voter and you sign the petition. The payments are framed as being made for signing or referring others to sign a petition in support of the First and Second Amendments, but only registered voters in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, and North Carolina may receive payments. We are aware of nothing like this in modern political history. We urge you to investigate whether America PAC's payments are prohibited payments for voter registration. How is this even remotely illegal? I don't understand. You sign a petition, you're eligible to win. What's the problem with this? It's his money. If he wants to give it away, it's up to him. This is just another way they can go after Elon Musk. They hate him, but yeah, it's pathetic. These are apparently Republican. These are the anti-Trump Republican lunatics who are out there. I really have to wonder about these people. They hate Trump so much they want 4 more years of this nonsense. Or is it the fact that they're worried that the war machine is going to come to a screeching halt? That's what I think it is. Don't you? I think it's that. I think they're really worried that the Ukraine gravy train and the war machine is going to come to a screeching halt if Donald Trump gets elected. That's what these people are all about. The Cheneys, the warmongers, the war hawks. Tells you a lot. And I'm glad Tulsi Gabbard has joined the Republican Party, and I say good riddance to Liz Cheney and her ilk. All right, listen, that's the show. Thanks for listening. Back with you tomorrow from 3 to 7. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Instagram, Zeoli Show. Follow along. I just posted a story, one of our clips from Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon from this past weekend. And we'll be back with you tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened.
Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.